Take your Bibles and turn along with me as we study again from a portion of God's Word. I'd like to talk about the idea of fear tonight, which might seem odd since I talked about love this morning. But we're going to tie those two ideas together. You can see that in the title when it eventually shows up. Fear is an instinctive emotion. It arises from a need to preserve ourselves, to keep us protected. Fear has perfectly good attributes and reasons why we have it. There should be a reason why we maybe fear getting too close to the edge of a cliff or something like that. Fears of job loss, serious illness, difficult problems may cause each of us to fear for one reason or another. And we don't fear when we don't perceive some type of danger in the world around us. But fear sometimes gets out of hand. And one of the reasons for it is that sometimes we fear things because we don't know. We don't know exactly what it is we fear, because we don't know what we need to take action against. And so it becomes a churning where we cycle. We know there's something wrong, but at the same time, we don't know exactly what. We can't put our fingers on it. We don't know what to do about it. In Proverbs chapter 28, and the very first verse of that chapter, says, the wicked flee when no one is pursuing, but the righteous are bold as lions. The wicked flee even though they are not being pursued because they know they're in the wrong. They just assume that something's out to get them. I remember once talking with a young man and a police car drove by and he jumped. I asked him why. And basically, he couldn't really tell me why. And I said, have you done something wrong? He says, well, no, not recently. And I said, well, if you didn't do anything wrong, there's no reason to fear the police. But he had that instinctive fear because he did know that he was doing something wrong, at least in the past. Sometimes the future makes us afraid because, well, how much of the future do we really know? Take a look at Proverbs 27, verse 1. Do not boast about tomorrow, for you may do not know what a day may bring forth. And so some people get trapped in a fear. Something might happen. But it's a fear of the unknown. Again, I know another young man who's constantly, every little something that goes wrong with his body, he decides he must be coming down with cancer. And it doesn't matter how many times I explain to him that, you know, you don't have to jump to the most exotic type of thing that you're fearful of. It could be just a cold. But some people just get a fear and they go to extremes when they're dealing with an unknown item. There was a magazine called Vanguard, and back in 1981, Paul Meyer told this story, and I think it illustrates the idea quite well. He said, several generations ago, during one of the most turbulent of the desert wars in the Middle East, a spy was captured and sentenced to death by a general of the Persian army. The general, a man of intelligence and compassion, had adopted a strange and unusual custom in such cases. He permitted the condemned person to make a choice. The prisoner could either face a firing squad or pass through the black door. As the moment of execution drew near, the general ordered the spy to be brought before him for a short final interview, the primary purpose of which was to receive the answer of the doomed man to the query, what shall it be, the firing squad or the black door? This was not an easy decision, and the prisoner hesitated. but soon made it known that he preferred the firing squad to the unknown horrors that might await for him behind the ominous and mysterious door. Not long after, a volley of shots announced the grim sentence had been fulfilled. The general, staring at his boots, said to his aide, "You see how it is with men. They will always prefer the known way to the unknown. It is characteristic of people to be afraid of the undefined. Yet I gave him his choice." "What lies behind the black door?" asked the aide. "Freedom," answered the general. "And I've only known a few brave men who actually chose it." We see this kind of fear in Saul, who went to a witch. Even though he had persecuted witches, he had sentenced them to death, he went and sought out a witch because God would not tell him what the future held, and he badly wanted to know. Take a look at 1 Samuel chapter 28. 1 Samuel chapter 28. And in verse 4. "So the Philistines gathered together and came and camped in Shunem. And Saul gathered all Israel together, and they camped at Gilboa. When Saul saw the camp of the Philistines, he was afraid, and his heart trembled greatly. When Saul inquired of the Lord did not answer him, either by dream or by Urim or by prophets. When Saul said to his servants, 'Seek for me a woman who is a medium, that I may go to her and inquire of her.' And his servants said to him, 'Behold, there is a woman who is a medium at Endor.'" Saul went what he knew God was against to find out what God had in store for him about his future. That's how badly he feared the unknown. And none of us know what will happen tomorrow. Take a look at James chapter 4 and in verse 14. James chapter 4 and verse 14. "Yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You're just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away." None of us know what tomorrow is going to hold. We might have expectations. We might have hopes. We have dreams. But when it really comes down to it, I really don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. But we don't have to fear. In fact, the counter to this is that we find comfort in the known. When David was captured by the Philistines, he wrote a psalm that's recorded for us in Psalms 56. We're going to just read the first four verses of that. Psalms 56, starting with verse 1. It says, "Be gracious to me, O God, for man has trampled upon me. Fighting all day long, he oppresses me. My foes have trampled upon me all day long. There are many who fight proudly against me. When I am afraid, I will put my trust in you. In God whose word I praise, in God I have put my trust, I shall not be afraid. What can mere man do to me?" Here's the counter to the problem that David faced. He was being opposed, he was being attacked. It was a scary situation. But David found comfort in God. David had full trust in God. And knew that whatever happened would be for the best. That comfort in the known allowed him not to be afraid. He knew where he stood with God. And because he knew where he stood with God, he basically said, "Then what can man do to me?" David didn't know what the future held, and fear began to rise within, but in his fear, he turned to one constant. And that is his God. God is a solid fortress. Take a look at Psalm 61. Psalm 61, starting with verse 1. Again, we'll read the first four verses. Hear my cry, O God. Give heed to my prayer. From the end of the earth I call to you. My heart is faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been a refuge for me, a tower of strength against the enemy. Let me dwell in your tent forever. Let me take refuge in the shelter of your wings. God is that rock. God is that solid fortress. God doesn't change. And so we can take comfort in our God. As Jesus urged us in Mark chapter 12 and in verse 30. Mark 12 and verse 30. It says, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. This is where we put our trust. This is where we put our love, is in God. We give God everything. And in response, we get comfort back. A complete confidence and trust in God. And our trust is not because we're so deserving or that we're so great. We love God for the simple fact that He loves us. Take a look at 1 John chapter 4. 1 John 4 and verse 19. 1 John 4. And verse 19. We love because He first loved us. And so God hasn't given us fear. We ought not to be trembling at the thought of facing our God. We love God with everything that we have. And so He's given us power. He's given us His love. In fact, look at what Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. It says, for God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and discipline. Or it could be translated as a sound mind. That's what God has given us. We put our confidence in God. It's not power in ourselves. God has the power. It's not love in ourselves. God loved us first. And the self-discipline, again, is God who teaches us how to live. And so our confidence comes there. And thus that mature love, if we go back to 1 John, I should have had you hold your fingers there. 1 John chapter 4, look back at verse 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Because fear involves punishment, and the one who fears is not perfected in love. When we are matured in our love, there's no need of fear. When we really love God, we'll be excited, longing to be before our Lord, to actually be able to meet Him face to face. And so we can say, as the Hebrew writer says in Hebrews chapter 13, Hebrews 13, starting with verse 5, make sure your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have. For He Himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. So that we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What will man do to me? There again is that same passage that we read from the Psalms. I can have confidence in God. And not fear whatever might come my way. Sometimes people feel failure. They're afraid they're not good enough. Over and over again, I talk to people who are afraid they won't make it to heaven. And at times, they may actually have a reason. Sin in their life they haven't yet conquered. They haven't let go of it yet. They're afraid they might not make it. Take a look at Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, and in verse 28. Do not fear those who kill the body, but are unable to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. It's appropriate if we are going against what God says to have some fear of God. But too often what I run into is not so much that they can't overcome the sin, is that there's a fear that God won't really forgive them of their sin. You know, God said it in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9 that there is forgiveness of sin. 1 John chapter 1 verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Notice what it says. He is faithful. He's absolutely trustworthy in that statement. John is emphasizing there is no if, maybe, perhaps involved here. God is faithful. And what sins did he say he would forgive us of? It says of all unrighteousness. It's amazing how many people write to me and ask about, well, maybe I've committed the unpardonable sin. But the Bible doesn't actually use the phrase unpardonable or unforgivable. It doesn't appear. The only sin that's unforgiven is one that's not repented of. Now, Jesus did warn there's one category of sin where people don't have a real strong tendency not to forget, repent of. Blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. But the problem is not on God's part saying, I'm not going to forgive somebody. The problem is on man's part who's so arrogant and so stubborn that he's saying, I'm not going to repent. God is willing and God is faithful for those who will confess their faults before him, that he will forgive them of all sins. We just have to humble ourselves. But some people just can't bring themselves to fully trust God, that God will do this for them. And therein lies the problem. They lack faith. Take a look at Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, and look at verse 6. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. Notice that last phrase. We have to have faith, not just that God exists. We have to have faith that God keeps his promise. That he rewards those who seek him. And really what we're struggling then with is the lack of faith. Faith that needs to be built. Fear then is overcome when we love God. And when we build that faith in God. And then God is able to strengthen us. Take a look at Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, and look at verse 13. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. When God is behind me and strengthening me because I have my faith and confidence in him, I have my love for him there, I can do all things. I can conquer the sins that chase after me. that are so hard to let go. I don't have to fear that it's not good enough. One of the things you find in philosophy, not that I'm great at philosophy, but Plato once said, we can easily forgive a child who's afraid of the dark. The real tragedy of life is when men are afraid of the light. You know what? We need to not fear righteousness. We need to not fear God who is light. Remember the parable about the talents, the man who had just one, back in Matthew chapter 25? Matthew 25, and starting with verse 24. It says, and the one who had received one talent came up and said, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. And I was afraid and went away and hid your talent in the ground. See, you have what is yours. But his master answered and said to him, you wicked, lazy slave, you knew that I reaped where I did not sow and gathered where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have put my money in the bank, and on my arrival I would have received my money back with interest. Therefore take away the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who does not have, even what he does have will be taken away. Throw out the worthless slave into the outer darkness, in that place where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The man feared failing. And he allowed that fear to paralyze him, to keep him from doing what he knew he ought to do. And for that he was called wicked and lazy. He had no faith in his master. He had no love for him. See, who can actually harm someone who follows righteousness? In 1 Peter chapter 3, 1 Peter 3, look at starting with verse 13. Who is there to harm you if you prove zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for the sake of righteousness, you are blessed. And do not fear their intimidation and do not be troubled. It doesn't matter what people do. We know God takes care of us. And even if we have to face difficulties and hardships and persecution from the hands of men, God knows. God watches. God cares. So we put God first and don't worry about the things that we cannot handle. Take a look at Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6 and in verse 33. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will take care of itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Sometimes we've used the phrase, take it one day at a time. We got enough things to handle today. We don't have to spend borrowing from the future things that we don't even know what's going to happen. We put God first. Everything else will sort itself out eventually. We put our trust in God. Take a look at Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, starting with verse 3 or 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. One last passage I'd like for you to consider is in John chapter 11. John 11 verse 25. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. We can put our confidence in Christ. It doesn't matter what happens to me. I could be killed. It doesn't matter. If we believe in Christ, if we put our whole faith in God, doing what He wants to the best of our ability, trusting that He has our best interests in mind, then it doesn't matter what happens. Because God is with me. If there's anyone here today who's not yet a child of God, there's no better time than right now to put on Christ. For those of you who are children of God, would like the prayers of the brethren on your behalf. Why don't you come forward and sing the song that was selected?